الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء کرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, for those who will recall, last week we began a discussion of those asbaq, lessons, haqaiq and realities which since we are in the season of Hajj, which commences from the 1st of Shawwal, despite the fact that it's not conceivable or even possible that every one of us will go for Hajj, but this universal fifth pillar of Islam, it is important that we revisit and remind ourselves of these very, very pivotal, fundamental, foundational segments of our deen and shariat upon which to a very large extent our very salvation in the akhirat is inextricably linked. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, when Allah speaks about Hajj, Quran is addressing the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's addressing the entire humanity. Allah Ta'ala says, liyashhadu, liyashhadu. Ajeeb word the Quran uses. Shahida yashhad means physically you are present. Physically, you are directly affected by this. So referring to Hajj, Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُ مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Nafa in Arabic means a benefit. Manafi means many, many benefits. Allah says, you will physically experience through Hajj manafi' many, many integral important benefits. This fifth pillar of Islam, Allah has inextricably linked with it many, many great benefits. One, as we touched on last week, you and I, whether we understand it or not, we are on a journey. Our example is that of a traveler. This transient, very, very short life which Allah has given us in this world. If we will make dunya the goal, the wealth of this world, the ambitions of this world, the desires of this world, then dunya is mahdood, dunya is limited, it is confined, it is restricted. And human nature is such, if you make something limited, your objective, once you acquire that, you will be start looking somewhere else. The only objective, the real objective of this traveler, this musafir, you and I in this world, has to be Allah. We are returning back to our Allah. And that is the one goal, finding the love of Allah. finding this connection and taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making Allah ta'ala pleased and happy with us, that is a limitless, limitless ocean. That is a limitless. There's no boundaries to that, because there is no boundaries to Allah. So give your whole life, finish yourself and find your Allah. That is one of the important lessons of Hajj. And wasn't my intention to delve further in that because of the time constraints. But just one thing, one symbolic, very, very important aspect of Hajj, which clearly enunciates this aspect for us, is what does the Haji do when he begins his Hajj journey? He takes off his clothes of the dunya. What is his example? Who is he imitating? Here you got the choice. There is a day coming when without your choice the clothes of the dunya are going to be taken off for you. The day of your mort. And then you will put on what? You won't put it on. It will be put on for you. The kafan. That kafan will be put on for you. In this world, when you embarked on this Hajj journey, you physically yourself put the ihram on. It's not the ihram, that's the kafan. You've put your kafan on. And now you are going to Arafah. You are going to Arafah to meet Allah. This entire journey, this exercise is symbolic of what? The day when you die and you are divested of everything of this world, and with those two or three simple pieces of cloth on your body, you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are going to the first stage of akhirat, which is the qabr. And eventually this will culminate in that day when you have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the tosha for that journey? What is the provision for that journey? Is ghaflat se nikal jao bhai. Allah ke liye is ghaflat se nikal jao. Come out of this negligence. Come out of this foolishness. Come out of the state of denial. And ask ourselves this burning question when we talk about Hajj. That us din ke liye, that day which Quran talks about as yaqeen, an absolute certainty. That day, what are my provisions for that day? What is my preparation? What is my tayari? And ask ourselves this question, my respected brothers. Each one of us. Ask now while you have the chance. Otherwise the time is coming when it will be too late. What are the preparations that we are making for that day? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Every Haji, Hajj seminars that are taking place. Muzakara about Hajj. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's Fazaili Hajj. We can read all the masail, learn everything about Hajj. But if you haven't identified with this aspect, that the day that you put that ihram on for your Hajj is the day of your maut, and your kafan has been put on for you. And on that day, the most important thing facing you and I is going to be, did we prepare? Did we prepare? What was the preparation? Was it Sauk accreditation? Was it a 5-star package? Or 6 weeks or 5 weeks? Was which hotels in Makkah and Medina, and whether you got camp A or camp B in Mina? By the qasam of my Allah, that is not the preparation. The preparation, ad-dunya thalathatu ayyam. Dunya thalathatu ayyam, this world is 3 days. Yawm wa amsin mada, one day is already gone. You're not getting that back. Yawm ghadin, the other is tomorrow. You and I don't know if whether tomorrow is going to be that cemetery or tomorrow is going to be this dunya. So what is the preparation? Yawmun anta fi. What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? Are your financial affairs in order? This morning at the time of Fajr, were you in the masjid? Behind the imam for Fajr Salah? From last night till now, did you read Surah Kahf? Did you read Surah Hamim al-Dukhan? Have you increased your salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did you come early for Jummah Salah to the masjid? Is there somebody that you are owing money to? Is there some relative or family member that you are not talking to? Is there some haram in your life that you can't seem to give up? What is the preparation? What is the preparation? The preparation is the answer to these questions. And Allah forgive me, Allah forgive you, the absolute stark reality is that if you haven't even taken the trouble to even think about these questions, then my respected brothers, we are in a state of complete denial. We haven't understood anything pertaining to Hajj. And we haven't understood anything pertaining to this life, because here it is not قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Normally sahaba would say that. I saw, I heard, I observed this happen. Here it wasn't like that. And I mentioned this many times before, I'm mentioning it again. Here it wasn't like that. And who is the audience? A young man, probably 13, 14 years of age. That is an estimate. It's not there in the hadith. It's an estimate. 13, 14 years of age he was. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. And what does Sarware Kainat, the pride of humanity, that zat, that personality upon whom Allah places the seal, more compassionate and more kind a human being you will never find. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ He was sarasar rahmat. He was from head to toe, compassion and mercy for you and I. What does he do? He goes up to this youngster, catches him by the shoulder. Here it's not qala or sami'tu or ra'itu. Here it is akhadha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi mankibayya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught all of me by my shoulder and he said ud nafsaka min ahli al-qubur. Abdullah, you are already in the grave. Abdullah, you are already in the grave. Yawmun anta fi, yawmun anta fi. You put that ihram on. You put that ihram on. That is your coffin. And every one of us, every day has to put that ihram on. Every day put the ihram on. And understand, it is not tomorrow, it's not yesterday, it's now. Am I lying? Am I cheating? Have I signed some riba agreement? Is there music blaring in my business? Is that shaitan box destroying the iman of my family at home every day? Am I in the dens of merrymaking, of music, of debauchery? When azan goes, where am I? Dawat and tabligh, the responsibility which my Nabi on the plains of Mina and Arafat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed over to me, is tabligh jamaat or whichever line or field or effort of deen that is acceptable according to Sharia, am I linked to that? Where is my time? Am I in the masjid or am I somewhere else? The problem is not really these questions. The problem, my respected brothers, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive you, is your and my attitude to these questions. We are in this, like they say, crudely, ahmaqo ke jannat, some fool's paradise, that we've got a lot of time to decide all this. Innahum yarawnahu ba'ida wa narahu qariba. Allah says, you think it is very far away. Allah says, this is Quran. Waman astaqu min Allahi qila, waman astaqu min Allahi haditha. There is no one more truthful than my Allah. Wa narahu qariba. Allah says, this is not far away. This is right on your head. Mort, death. My Nabi, when this question sallallahu alayhi wasallam was put to him, man akyasun nas, ya Rasulullah, who is the most intelligent person amongst us? Who is the most, I'm not going to translate that hadith literally. That hadith needs to be understood. Bewakuf kon hai, hoshyar kon hai, bedar kon hai, soye hue kon hai. Who is a fool and who is intelligent? Who is sleeping and who is awake? Who has accepted the reality and who is in denial? This is the question that was put to the most intelligent human being that ever lived. And what was his answer to it? Are you awake? Are you sleeping? Are you intelligent or are you an absolute fool and an idiot? Are you in denial or are you faced up to the reality? Before I answer that, what does Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu say? Mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before you actually have to die. Wallah, my respected brothers, all these Hajj seminars and all that we hear about Hajj, this is the nature of it. This is the essence of it. Grab this and you've grabbed everything. Otherwise, kam min wasilin ilal bayt. Kam min wasilin ilal bayt. Just now was December. And many, depending on their financial status, carved in that brief few days in Makkah and Medina to halalize that Dubai expedition or that Turkey expedition or whatever it was. We're not here to run anybody down. But come in, wasilin ilal bayt. How many there are that are holding the astar of the Kaaba? وَقَلْبُهُ مُنْقَطِعٌ عَنْ رَبِّ الْبَيْتِ. But their hearts are kokla. The hearts are empty. The hearts are zero of any real meaningful association with the Rabb of the Kaaba. Understand it like this, my respected brothers. There is somebody in our town who his whole life he tried, he cried, he did whatever. He was an ordinary laborer. He didn't have the means. Despite crying his whole life, he earned halal. He couldn't make it, couldn't afford the airline ticket. That was Allah's decision for him. He never saw the rawda of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam except on some picture. He was never blessed with the haziri of my Nabi. He was never able to in his entire life, despite desiring it, stand between those two pillars and say directly, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. He was never able to do that. And he died in this town. But from head to toe, he was an emblem, he was a shining beacon of sunnah. When you looked for him, you found him in the masjid. When you looked into his life, he hadn't done anybody down. His heart was clean. He knew how to control his temper. He was a source of surur and happiness to everyone that he came into contact with. Always a smiling face. His affairs were in order, and more importantly, and don't misunderstand this. Today when we talk of sunnah, what is it? Amama, topi, kurta, clothing above the ankles. Wallah, this is absolutely fundamentally important. I'm not running down this. Don't misunderstand. But to confine and restrict what Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam represented to just this, that is where we have fallen into shaitan's trap. Sunnah is not only that. Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Nabi, shabash! Your akhlaq, your character. Where the wives, when they are asked, describe him. Kana dhahakan basaman. Smiling, affable, affectionate, loving, compassionate, kind. Never hurt a single human being with his tongue in his entire life. Never took revenge for himself. لا يغضب لنفسه ولا انتصر لها. That is also sunnah. Nikah is what? Marriage is what? According to Sunnah. According to Sunnah, what is marriage? What is allowed in Shariat when it comes to marriage according to Sunnah? Where there is barakat, the nikah in the masjid and walima. What is our marriage today? How many functions? How many statements of israf? Do we even take that 5 seconds to think, leave everyone else? Those poor servants, those poor indigenous laborers around us, those poor people who don't know where the next meal is going to come from, you don't, not, are we that insensitive to the plight of humanity, to the ambassadorship of Islam, to the safarat of Islam, ambassadorship of Islam that we inherited directly from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we can be blind to their plight, that they are observing the stupendous level of israf and extravagance. They can't afford their next meal, and it is them that have to clean up those tables, clean up behind you, clean up the mess, clean up the indiscriminate wastage and opulence. Are we that insensitive to their plight? Because their understanding of what is Islam and what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam represents is our behavior in that nikah, our behavior in our functions, our behavior in the type of dressing, in the type of car, in the type of way of life that we are living. And more importantly, our behavior in our attitude towards them. Are these questions we are never going to ask? Are these realities that we are not going to face? Sunnah is not just the kurta and amama and wearing the clothing above the ankle. Like I said, I cannot overstress the importance of that. But what is real sunnah? What is real sunnah? That dard, that pain in the heart, to the plight of your domestic servants, to the plight of your staff in your business, to the plight of even that Hindu neighbor, or that Jewish neighbor, or that Christian neighbor, who over the years you have formed some sort of relationship with. Did you ever take the trouble of thinking that man dies, or his wife dies, or his children die, they are going to Jahannam forever and ever? The Quran which you and I believe in is telling us that. But is that same Quran telling us that we are supposed to be insensitive to their plight? Is that same Quran not commanding you and I that a day is coming, a day is coming, a day is coming, waqifuhum, waqifuhum, that my Allah will say, stop them in their tracks. Innahum mas'ulun. Now ask them, when humanity was dying without iman, when my deen was being slaughtered in front of them, malakum, this is Quran, this is not some fancy commentary, this is direct translation of the Quran, that a day is coming to those who will be insensitive to the plight of humanity, to those who did not identify with what was the essence of the legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to those whose eyes were dry when humanity was dying on kufr in front of them, and Allah's deen was being slaughtered in front of them, that a day is coming, waqifuhum, stop them in their tracks, innahum masulun, and Allah will say, ask every one of them, malakum, 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 la tanasarun. We blessed you with iman. We blessed you with the life of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We blessed you with wealth. We blessed you with intelligence. We blessed you with countless ni'mats. What was wrong with you, la tanasarun, that you could be blind to the destruction of my deen? Islam mit raha hai. Deen mit raha hai. It's not You don't have to prove this. Just see the way our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered. Just see the way on a world scale that the whole world has made fools out of this ummah. Just see the way in which Sadaqa Rasulullah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke the absolute truth. Yushiku an tada alaykum kama tada al akilatu ila qasatiha. Faqala qailun wa min qillatin nahnu yawma idhin. قالوا بل أنتم يومئذ كثير ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل ولينزعن الله من صدور عدوكم المهابة منكم وليقذفن في قلوبكم الوهن قالوا ما الوهن يا رسول الله قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت صدق رسول الله. If there was no other hadith to describe the current situation, we don't have to look anywhere else to understand the haqqaniyat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was almost as if Allah stripped the 14 centuries and brought this day in front of my Nabi 14 centuries ago in Madinah Munawwara, when he told that jamaat, which jamaat? Time is limited, I'm not going into the details. Which jamaat did he say this to? He said this to the jamaat. I'm just going to give one example. La'an aqa'a minas sama. La'an aqa'a minas sama. Ahabba ilayya min an atruka shay'an. Qatala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi. The imam of that jamaat, the sardar of that jamaat, the leader of that jamaat, the pride of that jamaat, the gem of that jamaat, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, translates for you and I, the ghafil Muslim of 14 centuries ago, what that jamaat was and what their jazba was. What was their jazba? He said, literal translation, if I am taken from the heavens. That time there was no aeroplane, so I can't use the word aeroplane. But in my and your language, if I was carried up on some aeroplane or some helicopter and taken right up to the skies and flung from there mercilessly to my death, that would be easier for me to tolerate than abandoning the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The cry of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his cry? He was sarasar rahmat. He was head to toe mercy. What was his cry? فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتْ. My Nabi, are you going to destroy yourself in making gham and fikr that they must come onto, that every human being must enter Jannah? Are you going to finish yourself on this? Are you going to kill yourself behind this? Overtly, it looks like Allah is complaining out of compassion. And in fulfilling that, the pride of that jamaat says, throw me from the skies to my death, that will be easier. Throw me from the skies to my death, that will be easier than me abandoning this. Turn the clock 14 centuries from in that jamaat, were to varying degrees by the qasam of my Allah, every one of them was on this. Every sahabi was a tablighi. Every sahabi had the dard of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. Every sahabi understood his goal and his purpose and his commitment to the propagation of Islam. Every sahabi identified with the worry of humanity of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every sahabi's life revolved around the masjid. Every sahabi understood in his heart, my life and my wealth belong to the mission of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without exception. And that is why Quran said, kullan wa'adallahu al-husna, every one of them, by the oath of Allah, is a jannati. They were the shining stars. They are your and my role models. Not what our youth have adopted today, Allah forgive us. In that jamaat, in that group, he says, a time is coming. What will happen? Now understand this. Today, social media and all these fancy gadgets, so none of us can claim ignorance. Understand it on the world scale. And this is literal translation. I mean, I'm not even going into any commentary. He said, a time will come that the nations of the world will sit around the table. There will be one huge plate in front of them. Analogy is given by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what will be on this plate? My ummah. What will be on this plate? Syria, Gaza, Kashmir, Burma, Sudan. And let the list go on. That's what will be on this plate. And around this plate will be the nations of the world. And every one of them will be inviting, laughing and joking like how you laugh and joke at some wedding or some function. And what will be the agenda? Choose. There's a lot of delicacies here. Who you want to eat? Who you want to chew up? There's not going to be any defense. Like that food when you pick it up and you choose the different delicacies, whether it's the starter, the gajar halwa or the biryani or whatever it is. There's no defense given. Anta da'alaykum kama tada'ala akilatu ila qas'atiha. Like how invitation is given by a group of friends to a range of delicacies in some function, the nations of the world will invite one another and eat them up. Eat them up. They have got no respect. They are second-class human beings. They are worthless. They are useless. Their blood is not worth anything. Eat them up. Destroy them. Who is being told this? That Jamaat that said, throw me from the sky and I will not tolerate any diminishing in the level of 100% deen and obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are being told, so they are dumbfounded, they are shocked. They can't, obviously they have to believe, but they are shocked. So immediate knee-jerk reaction to this prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? وَمِن قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, will we be so few? So few that this is going to happen? So few that this is going to happen? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٍ صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. My Nabi spoke the absolute truth. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٍ. No, my Sahaba. My ummah will be many, 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 many in number that day. They will be millions. They will have proverbially, this is not there now, it's interpretation. They will have the wealth of the world. They will have the wealth of the world, the means of the world. Everything will be there. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٍ. But what will their value be? What will their value be in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? غُثَى كَغُثَى السَّيْلِ. Like the filth and the dirt that is left behind when a deluge or a flood occurs. That is going to be what is inside them. So despite their numbers, Allah will have removed their fear from the hearts of the enemy. Aman and protection will no longer be there. They have oppressed the whole world. So now the system of Allah will have turned against them. And then like a doctor does a diagnosis. By Dr. Saab, I'm going urinating a lot at night. I'm feeling thirsty all the time. Straight away, what the doctor says, let me go and test your sugar level. Because these are the symptoms that you are displaying. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first gave us the symptoms, then he gave us what is the cause. My ummah doesn't have diabetes. What is the cause? Hubbud dunya. Mere ummah, dunya ke muhabbat mein pagal ho jayega. To this blind, temporary, useless world, they will madly be in love with it. And what is integral to that, what is inextricable to that? Karahiyatul maut. Every one of them, illa mashallah, will be in denial about death. They will be in denial about death. What does denial about death mean? Dislike of death means koi tayari nahi ho raha hai. No preparation is being done. No preparation. Coming back to what I said earlier, who is the most intelligent and who is the fool? Who is the intelligent one? Who is the idiot? Who is sleeping? Who is awake? Sarwar Kainat, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, outlining this for us, clear hadith when the question was put, are we awake, are we asleep? Are we intelligent or are we absolute fools? Who are we challenging? He said, the most intelligent person of my ummah is the one who has put the kafan on. He has put the kafan on. He's ready to die. Fajr this morning, he was in the masjid. He hasn't done anybody down. He's not owing anybody anything. He hasn't usurped the rights of his female inheritance, of female relatives. There's no one that has some claim against him. His business is not in haram. His life is on sunnah. His direction is right. He is the intelligent one. He is the intelligent one. He is the intelligent one. Otherwise, coming back to that example that I mentioned earlier, his whole life, he never made it to Medina. His whole life, he wasn't able, he didn't, couldn't afford the largesse or the extravagance of tying in one Umrah trip with a December holiday or with some other holiday, or when the domestic servants are on holiday, and obviously, mashallah, in the house, no servants, so can't live there, so we have to go for the annual vacation, but let's give it an Islamic angle. Why now? They made the visa very easy. Hajj and Umrah is not a joke, and it's not a holiday, and it's not a vacation. Hajj and Umrah is a lesson. It's a sabak. Pagal mat ho jao. Don't be foolish. Don't plant the seed in the hearts of your children that that is some holiday and vacation place. That is a place for you and I to remind ourselves that we've put the kafan on. That is the place of you and I to make tawbah. That is the place where Ibn Rajab Rajab humbly says, the man holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba and someone sitting thousands of miles away in his warm bed, this man's heart is connected with Allah. He's ready to die. That man's heart is devoid of Allah. Who is better in Allah's sight? By the qasam of my Allah, coming back to this example, I've run out of time. Allah give me, Allah give you the understanding. My respected brothers, I've run out of time, but just to complete that example, this man, his whole life, he was on sunnah. He loved the sunnah of my Nabi. From head to toe, miswak was there. Akhlaq was there. Character was there. His affair was in order. He was practicing sunnah, but he never made it for his entire life to stand between those two pillars and say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Not one qasam, not two qasams. I'm prepared to take 1,000 qasams. That tomorrow on the day of judgment, he will be far, far closer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than that person who went for Hajj and Umrah every year. And from head to toe in his life, there was no sunnah. We have put the kafan on, whether you are going for Hajj or not going for Hajj. The nature and the essence, this first lesson, take this first lesson, that this journey is your farewell journey to meet Allah. So prepare, prepare, prepare. Don't be a fool who went empty-handed. Don't be that person who ended up at the airport without his passport or without his luggage or without his currency, if you want to use our terms. Don't be like that person. Be the one who is ready, who's done all his preparation, the real preparation. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhlaq.